We're beginning our Bible study. Continuing our look at how to interpret and study the Bible. We're on lesson 5 handout on page 4, wrapping up lesson 5. On the bottom of the page, lesson 4, as we're looking at the role of history in understanding the history and the context of the Bible, to help us interpret and study it. So on the bottom of the page, a place of secular background material and scripture interpretation. In this course, we have been stressing the fact that scripture interprets scripture. Is there any room for using information gleaned from secular sources to help us understand Scripture, is the question. And so consider the following scenarios as we turn to page 5. Your friend Susan came to Bible study last week with an article on ancient farming practices. The class was studying the parable of the sower and the seed. How could the class use this information in their study? Give you a few seconds to formulate an answer, and then we'll discuss. How could the class use that outside information as a benefit in their study? Well, as you look at that information on farming, for example, ancient farming practices, it can help us put ourselves in their shoes, right? As the original listeners, it becomes easier then to grasp the story or the point. And so knowing history then can have helpful benefit in understanding the scriptures, especially those parables of the accounts that Jesus was talking about that related to farming, so many of them. Even if we didn't have such a context to look at, to refer to, we still could have an understanding of the scriptures. Another friend, John, ran across an interesting article on the city of Jericho. Recent archaeological work there gives us interesting insights into the size and layout of the city. It also uncovers evidence that shows that at one point in history, the walls of Jericho seem to have fallen outward. Again, how might this information be helpful in our study of the scriptures? Well, knowing how cities were built and how homes were built into the walls gives us an indication, gives us insight of how definitely what this account is saying could be true. Kind of like Ken Ham once made a reference in one of his Answer to Genesis lectures of, you know, if he were to build a home, he would be considered a caveman because he would build his home out of a cave. His brother, who was a contractor, well, he could build out of wood. And so this notion that cave people are backwards, you know, we get that impression from certain commercials and just from our educational system that people who lived before, especially centuries before, were backwards and walking hunched over and so forth. That's not the case at all. So again, understanding history can help us appreciate what the scriptures are telling us, and it's all built on fact. That goes back then to the key foundation points of how to look at the scriptures and study them. First of all, verbal inspiration, that this is God's word that he gave or guided their authors of what they were to write. And since it's God's word in all aspects of it, it contains no errors or false promises. How might this information be misused? This information, again, from outside the scriptures. How could it be misused? If people do what with it? We're on lesson 5, page 5. No problem. Some people just... lesson 5, page 5. So again, we're talking about the city of Jericho. Someone looked up information about the how the walls and the homes of Jericho were built. How can that information be helpful when we're looking at the Bible account? How can it be misused? We saw it could be helpful. But if someone's looking to change the Bible account, then it becomes a misuse of what took place. We see that oftentimes, right? People in society, in teaching history classes or whatever, they have their view of how things or this happened, and then there's an archaeological dig that takes place, and then that undoes what has been said or confirms what the Bible says. So again, your best bet, especially as a Christian, is stick with what the Bible says. And this goes to the second key point. The first one was verbal inspiration. The second one is worldview, or your epistemology. We use that term a lot. Again, your starting point. As Christians, our starting point is the Bible. And those outside sources will either help us supplement, visualize in our mind what the Bible says, maybe we already have that vision in our mind and we didn't need that outside source. So we're just wrapping up lesson 5. Pretty soon we'll move into lesson 6 of how to interpret the Bible. So material from outside sources, whether it is historical material or material that deals with word usage, can shed light on a passage, but it can never be used to change the simple meaning of the text. How often do you go to a dictionary or to Google or whatever your source might be to look up a word, what it means? Right? That's not unusual. And same with the Bible. We can Google words from the Bible and get a history of, or at least a starting point, and go from there. Best then if you have like a Bible dictionary, or again the People's Bibles, those are good resources too. So in summary, Scripture message is timeless, yet Scripture is a historical book. Knowing who wrote a book, when it was written, to whom certain words were spoken, and why they were spoken will help Bible readers properly interpret a passage and apply its timeless message to themselves. Think of Thessalonians, Paul writing to the congregation in Thessalonica, especially like the second letter. What's the context? Which helps explain why Paul was at the end of book 1, chapters 4 and 5, and then in book 2, why he addresses the last times. Why would Paul spend so much time addressing the end times in those letters? What's the context? Yeah, there was confusion about the second coming of Christ because, again, keep in mind, Paul was only able to spend a limited amount of time with the believers there. And he was thankful by the grace of God that the believers there had the knowledge that they did and the faith that they had through the working of the Holy Spirit. But they did have some questions about the end time, as some said, oh, it already came, so you missed out. So be depressed, people. Or those who died before Christ comes are going to miss out. You know, there was confusion, so Paul sets the record straight. You know, those who die in the Lord before the Lord comes back, you'll see them again. They're already enjoying the fruits of heaven. And how are you going to know you didn't miss it? Yeah, it's not going to be missed. You know, first of all, there's going to be something out of the ordinary going on, and you will know, whether you're a believer or unbeliever, that this is it. So help people understand that they haven't missed it, but be ready for it, because it's still coming. All right, we're going to move into lesson 6. How to interpret the Bible. We're looking at human reason. We talked about this a little bit already. Human reason, its role in interpreting Scripture, the right way to use reason, the wrong way to use reason. Let's look at Psalm 27. We'll read it responsively. The Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek. To gaze upon the beauty of the Lord. For in the day of trouble, He will hide me in the shelter of His tabernacle. All right, under the introduction section now. Reason is a great gift of God. We talked about that before. Martin Luther, in the explanation to the first article, emphasizes that truth, that our ability to think and to hold on to things and to remember things is a gift from God. And yet, as he pointed out, it needs to take a back seat to Scripture. Again, things that we don't understand or grasp, the problem is not with God or Scripture, but with us. And so then ask the Holy Spirit to enlighten us. It is also the source of all doctrinal errors. Martin Luther maintained these two truths side by side. Nowhere does this become more apparent than when interpreting Scripture. As we talked about, reason, for example, what important truth of the Bible has been denied by reason, gets denied often and even in the church then? Creation, okay? We can't understand it. And yet, what truth is accepted in churches that don't believe in creation any longer? We talked about that one. We're getting into it pretty soon in the church here. The resurrection. Is the resurrection any more believable than creation? And then there's another mystery that we can't compute fully in our mind, and so churches even have come up with ways to try to rationalize it, and that has to do with the Lord's Supper. Does it represent? Does it change into? Is it really is? In and under? You know, again, Scripture is clear. God help us understand it. So a reason applied to the words of Scripture will help us understand what God is teaching us. So again, there is a valuable role to the gift of reason when it comes to interpreting and studying the Scriptures. On page 2, lesson 6, reason, when injecting its own thoughts into Scripture, will invariably pervert Scripture's meaning. In today's lesson, we will examine how we should and should not use reason when we interpret the Bible. What's another misuse of Bible truth, a misuse of reason in today, especially when it comes to the love of God? God loves everyone, so what does that mean? Our reason says? What was that? He saves everyone. Only good stuff will happen because God is a God of love. What other implication is out there? Apathy sets in. You know, God's a God of love, so He's going to be like a good grandpa and take me back no matter what I do. Correct, right? So we have to be careful that we assume in our reason that, well, God will have to take me back because He's a God of love, but He also is a just God who says, if you disown me, I will disown you. Yeah, lifestyle is whatever I want because God is a God of love and He loves everybody, so that means I can do whatever I want. Again, our reason will come to that conclusion, perhaps, but it's faulty when it's lined up against Scripture. So we have to be careful even in a statement like that. God is love. It's true. First John emphasizes that beautifully. God is a God of love, but what comes with that love? Right? Studying God's Word, then, the right way to use reason. The following is a summary of what we have studied in this course. How does reason play an important role in doing this? There are some outside information I want to get to at this point in time. You don't have it in front of you, so that means you got to listen. Just wrapping up history and then turning it into reason, its role. History, then, has a twofold relationship to God's Word. First, Scripture relates historical events that either accompany or are a basic part of the way in which God accomplished our salvation. Secondly, the words of the Bible have a historical setting or background because of the way in which God chose to have His Word written down for mankind. The historical setting of words simply means who is speaking to whom, where, when, and why. Sometimes the historical setting may mean little, but in other instances it may be very important. The Bible reader or interpreter must acquaint him or herself with all that can be known about the special circumstances of the person or people about whom portions of Scripture are written or to whom they are addressed. This information is often a key to fully and rightly understanding what the words of Scripture say and mean. The Bible interpreter does not study the historical setting in order to alter or change what Scripture says. Rather, he studies it only that he might understand both fully and rightly what the inspired author has written. The problem is not with Scripture. Scripture is not unclear in what it says and means when, for example, it speaks about the fact that Christ is true God and true man in one person. The problem is with us human beings. We are not always able to grasp fully some of the wonderful things God does with His almighty power. The solution to the problem in cases like this is not to change the meaning of the Bible to fit our reason. Instead, the only proper solution is to let the meaning of Scripture stand and in faith to rejoice in what God in His power does to bring the blessings of His grace to us. What section of Scripture offhand reminds us of that? It's in the New Testament, the one I'm thinking of. Reminds us that we are not able to comprehend what God has done, so let us celebrate all that God is and does, even though we can't comprehend it. Written by Paul, Romans 11, his doxology at the end of that chapter. Just a good reminder. Another reference that can come to mind from the Old Testament, Isaiah 55, his ways and thoughts are beyond our ways and thoughts. And again, as someone has said, in asking what is your hat size? And the relation of that again is, how do you expect to fit the Almighty God in whatever your hat size is? 6 7/8, 7 1/4. It can't be done. Let God be God. Right? So, moving on then, the proper use of reason, a gift from God. Number one, read Scripture in faith with a firm trust in the inspiration of Scripture and keep Christ in the center of your interpretation. Is faith a reasonable thing? I'm confused. No. Yes and no, right? I mean, again, depends how you're, in what context you're using the word faith. You two, you duke it out. Okay? Then come back with an answer, yes or no. No. Anyone take bets? All right. Yes or no. Right? But when it comes to faith in Jesus, in essence, in everything else that is in the Bible, is it reasonable?
No, it's not reasonable. God is not reasonable.
To our human nature, it is not reasonable. Right? Okay. Now again, faith is a gift from God, right? So according to our human reason, some of the things of God that are written in the Bible are not reasonable. Creation, for example. And so Hebrews 11 reminds us, by faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command. Because what did God say to Job when he was pressing him? Yeah, were you there when I laid the earth's foundations? No. You know, who of us can say that? So God gives us, hey, how this world came about. And you look around, it couldn't have been by accident. And again, chaos does not bring about order. Order has brought about what we have today. And so that's why the heavens declare the glory of God. It's all around us. And so that's why the Lord can say, you fool, if you don't believe in creation as God has laid it out for us. And then the resurrection and the Lord's Supper and even the last things. Coming back again. Foolishness to our human reason. But by the working of the Holy Spirit, it is reasonable. Now, can we understand things in Scripture, even though we may not believe the things in Scripture? Sure, we've talked about that early on in this course. Even inspiration, verbal inspiration, is a matter of faith, taking God at His word. Just a couple references, you don't have to look them up now, but 1 Corinthians 1:18-31, 1 Corinthians 1 talks about, anyone remember, the foolishness of God. What's foolishness to people? The cross of Christ. And so it becomes a stumbling block to some. Right? To the Jews, it was a stumbling block who thought they could work out their salvation. To others, it's foolishness, nonsense. How could one person die for the sins of all people? But to God, it's the power of God. Right? And then 2 Peter 3:14-18, 2 Peter 3, what are people scoffing at in the world? Where is this end that the Lord keeps talking about? People keep living and carrying on as always. But do they? I mean, every day we're reminded that this life is temporary. And COVID definitely put the fear, maybe not the fear of God in the people, but it put fear in the people because they were afraid to go outside to die. And again, why are we afraid of death? Our human nature. It's not natural. God didn't create us to die. It's a consequence of sin in the world. And so this pandemic has brought out an important truth that we can use as a springboard in conversations. Not to drive people into more fear, but to give them hope to replace that fear. Now again, you and I as Christians, we still fear death to one degree or another, but we also know where to turn to help deal with that fear. So just stop right there. So during the pandemic, we can still understand how flawed science is. That's for the video. Sure, and God is not flawed. We recognize that. And so that truth can be highlighted through this pandemic. And time and time again, right, to summarize what you said, if we listen to people, now again, we do want to listen and take what's beneficial, but if we lock, stock, and barrel in human opinion, we end up flawed, in trouble, right? But if we take God and also supplement, or again, view people's comments in light of God's Word, 1 John 4, right, test the spirits, right, in view of God's Word, then we can be on sure ground. And that's what God wants for us. He wants us to be on sure ground. Romans 8 reminds us. He gives us a hope so that we can have not sinking sand, but a solid foundation to walk on through this life until eternal life. And so how we look at Scripture, again, it all points to Christ. It all points to build us up. As we see that point of Scripture, then we're using it the right way. Let's look at 3. Unless Scripture itself leads you to do otherwise, interpret words in their simple, literal meaning. Scripture will indicate when it is speaking figuratively. We talked about different figurative uses of Scripture in a previous lesson. Strive to gain the single fundamental meaning of the section you are reading. You know, we talked about, too, how important it is when we're talking about things of Scripture, like trying to... Like Jesus' youth, his childhood years. We're not told much. But how many people try to embellish the childhood of Jesus? That we need to be careful. That we need to use our reason in the right way. Or anytime, again, when we say, I think this is the way it could be. Well, then I have to let my reason take it the right way because I want to know what Scripture says. I'm not going to be lock, stock, and barrel in what a human means thinks and says, but what God says. And that's why, again, why we take the opportunity to study the Scriptures individually, so that when we gather together, we're not going to be like sheep led astray, but sheep who will be fed, because we can appreciate the Scripture that we're hearing in a gathering such as this is actually God's Word. So, we strive to gain the single fundamental meaning of the section. You know, we talked about Luther early on, struggled with allegory, trying to put something in Scripture that wasn't there. We need to be careful about that too. So let us use our reason, the ability to comprehend, to deduce which passages are to be taken literally and which ones figuratively. Number 5, apply sound rules of logic to your interpretation. In other words, read it with same simplicity and honesty you use when you read the Sunday newspaper. Well, and even more so. Right? Ask the Lord to give you His Holy Spirit and bless your efforts to think logically about Scripture. All right, so what do we need to keep in mind as we heed that advice? What don't we want to hear as human beings as we look into the Scriptures, even as Christians? Yeah, that we're sinful, right? So any of those passages that talk about, you know, God is a God of love, and yet I'm going through trials and tribulations, or it talks about my sins, well, our old Adam doesn't want to hear that and chafes. And so, you know, Romans 7, Paul talks about that struggle that's taking place. So we need God's help to see why He took the time and takes the time to point out those truths about us in Scripture, so that we can grow in our relationship with Him. Confess the wrong and cling to the good. So, you know, a confession of sins in our worship service. We confess together we are poor, miserable sinners. And only by the grace of God are we able to be in His presence and worship Him. And upon hearing the words of absolution, being reminded of His forgiveness, are we refreshed to live anew for Him. So reason is a gift of God which He wants us to use to interpret Scripture. When reason lets Scripture interpret Scripture, one of the key principles of interpreting Scripture right there, it is being used as God intended. Now the wrong way. The following are a series of illustrations of the wrong way reason is often used to interpret Scripture. These examples are representative of arguments used in today's religious world that are having a tremendous impact on the way people view and interpret Scripture. We'll look at 1. Scientific evidence points to a world that is billions of years old. It also points to a slow evolutionary development of organic life. Therefore, the creation of the world in Genesis 1 and 2 must be a symbolic description of God working over billions of years through the process of natural selection to bring the world to the state it is in now. Now again, we've talked about this in some detail. What rules of proper interpretation are being broken? Okay, understanding the section of Scripture that we're dealing, the historical context, to be taken literally, unless there's an indication not to. Donna, do you have your hand? Yeah. Looking at that, you know, there's one meaning in there and one purpose. God is telling us how this world came to be, because people ask, you know, where did we come from? What's our purpose? What went wrong? You know, it's all there. It's kind of like, you know, again, taken from Ken Ham, give credit where credit is. You know, someone asked him, where did Cain get his wife? You know, that's why they couldn't believe the Bible, because they didn't know where Cain got his wife. And Ken Ham answered the person and said, yeah, in Genesis 5, boom, his sister. And to some, that's just like incomprehensible. But again, keep in mind the context. And the guy responded, well, I didn't read that far. You know, He didn't read that far. You know, how many people have not read the Bible and yet have become great critics of the Bible? So don't take a back seat. You can properly challenge them on their knowledge or lack of knowledge of Scripture.
Scientific evidence
Yeah, because where did science come from? You know, from God, right? And so, yeah, there are, summing up what you said, you know, a lot of scientific theories fall apart. And that's why it keeps on changing. They keep coming up with new theories. Even Darwin's theory is not number one anymore. That's disputed by legitimate scientists. And even in the 90s, there were a group of scientists who came out and said, the creation account makes the most sense. But being scientists, we cannot come out and say that. You know, we'd be out of a job. So, you know, again, it's all there. And God in his wisdom allows us to uncover more and more. And here again, we have this faulty notion, as we touched on before, that people who lived before us, so they were backwards. You know, how many children think their parents are old, you know, out of touch? And then later on, they realize, most of them, oh, you guys are pretty smart. Yeah. You know, but you think of how they built the pyramids, how we cannot do that like that today. Some of the engineering feats of years ago. You know, watching some of the World War II movies, you think of all the shipbuilding that was done and stuff. With all the modern tools of today, they were talented people, smart people. Where did it all come from? You know, again, from God. So let us not think that we're the smartest, greatest generation. As has been indicated, the further we get away from Adam and Eve perfection, actually the less intelligent we are.
Everything we need is within that scripture. Science has never been banned. It never will say everything's perfect. Just follow science. They will never say that.
Yep, everything we need is right there in the scriptures, right? But so, as science can be a benefit, as we talked about earlier, it can help understand certain parts of Scripture, but it can't sit in judgment of, right? So there's a proper use of science that we need to be. Sometimes the conclusion of science, yeah, the people don't use common sense or reason. But, you know, and again, here's where the society is against the church. And, you know, those who believe in a young earth, or believe in the Bible creation account, they can be withheld, if that's public knowledge, from certain courses, from getting your doctorate and so forth. So we need to be wise to the ways of the world, how they're trying to stop Scripture from being taught or from people from holding on to Scripture. And so that causes some dilemmas then, that those who are going for their counseling degrees and want to get their doctorate and or those who are going in the sciences, you know, that's some tricky ground to maneuver, knowing that professors and the council that needs to approve you is going against you. Just the way that today's world is gone. We'll have to stop there at the time being. We'll just kind of wrap this up, and we kind of get the concept of use of reason and unreason. And then, Lord willing, next week we're going to wrap up this interpreting and studying the Bible look, and we'll go to those materials that were on the table as well. They've also been sent out by email. How to study the Bible, Lesson 2 and Lesson 8. Those are the two that we're going to, Lord willing, go through then. So may the Lord God continue to bless your reading of the Bible and continue to grant your ability to understand the Bible, the intent that he has given us that mind for, to grasp his truths and to apply them to our lives. Blessings on your week be evident. Thank you.